So I'll start again. Good morning. It's great to see all of you again. And apologies about losing some data, but I tried to cull as much as I could from the internet and put it together. So anyhow, my talk will be about awe. And I became very interested in the state of awe. After I went on this 2-week transatlantic cruise, and I got to see the ocean and the sky meeting 360 degrees all around, and seeing the sunsets, and just being like, just like in a state of just like awe. I couldn't believe it, and there was fear also. So awe is not only amazement and wonder, but there's also fear, because there I was in the middle of the Atlantic, and I had a thought like, well, what happens if something happens? I mean, there was not another boat in sight. We were just all alone on this, like, not very big cruise ship. It wasn't one of the huge ones, and there was a certain amount of fear, knowing that nature can be very disruptive. But there was also this like feeling of like, oh my God. I was telling Bobby, it was like being in Bereshit, when God separated the heavens from the waters. So I became very interested in awe, and I started to skim Dan Keltner's book, The Awe. He wrote a book, Awe, The New Science of Everyday Wonder and How It Can Transform Your Life. And he did research, and he found that after translating like 2,600 narratives in 26 languages from around the world, he found that what people found most powerful in awe was moral beauty, or people who were able to they felt awe in other people's courage and kindness and strength in overcoming obstacles. For instance, I feel awe for the firefighters out in California now. I can't believe that they're going out and risking their lives, and I mean, I'm just in awe of that. So, but he found that most people, when they see someone else's virtue and character and morality and goodness and kindness, that's what people reported. And the next thing was like collective, like effervescence, people in groups who feel the same thing, or going through a movement together and supporting each other. And then, of course, there's nature, and then there's music, and then there's visual design. Drawings, paintings, sculpture, architecture. Like when we walk into a cathedral, we may feel awe, like just from the presence of the structure and the vibrations that it causes in your body. And then, of course, there's spirituality and religion and life and death. I'm sure many of us felt awe when we gave birth, right? And I certainly felt tremendous awe and fear when I witnessed my father's death. I was with him when he died. And then there's the epiphany. So those were the eight things that he found. All of a sudden you have this wow thought, So in our Parsha this week, Vayechi, which means he lived and he lived, we find that you could have the concept of awe in a number of different places in the Parsha. For example, Jacob's dying moments. He's near death, and he's surrounded by his sons. Is inherent, and this scene can be inherently awe-inspiring, as it marks the significant end of a figure in Jewish history and the passing of wisdom from one generation to the next. or when he blesses his grandchildren. That's the only time in the Torah that a grandfather blesses their grandchildren or is with their grandchildren that we are aware of. That is a story in the Torah. That was awe-inspiring for Jacob to bless those children and to take them on as his own. And then there's the power of blessings, the act of blessing, especially a revered figure like Jacob is viewed with great respect and awe, and is believed to carry significant weight and influence for future recipients and future generations. And when another example of awe, and these are all like moral characters and moral qualities, like the first thing that Keltner researched is the reconciliation between Jacob and Joseph, what Sheila talked about last week, in forgiveness after years of separation, with all this stuff that went on. They thought they killed their brother, and then he's alive and he's doing well. And all of a sudden, there's this great scene of forgiveness and family unity and a potential for healing. And that's maybe awe-inspiring. And then the fourth one that I thought was interesting about awe and could be related to the Parsha was that Jacob blesses each son. He sees each son as a separate entity and really understands their personality and actually gives them a blessing according to their being of who they are. So as a parent, he has such amazing insight into his kids. And that's could be looked at as awe. And another, I found this commentary that said that while they were traveling to Canaan to bury Jacob, the brothers see Joseph make a side trip to the pit where they cast him aside. They fear this triggers his enmity, when really Joseph feels only awe and gratitude for the winding path of his miraculous life's journey. So his brothers wanted to kill him, but God had something else planned. So Joseph was in a state of awe when he realized that. That was like an epiphany for him. So these were, and there was a lot more that I had that I could not recreate because it was, I didn't have enough time. But these were some of the things. So I was thinking that maybe we could discuss what is awe in our life? How do we experience awe? What people in, are we, do we say, oh my God, this is amazing. This is like wonder. And how do they do it? Or, I know that Sharon always talks about nature. She's not on right now, but she's always talking about looking out of her window and seeing her garden or birds, and I'm sure that that's very awe, a state of awe for Sharon. So I thought that maybe we could share experiences of awe that we have and how it relates to our, one thing I wanted to bring up before we share this, experience of awe and people that bring awe into our lives, is that it's, in order to experience awe, you have to sort of stop and notice and be curious. And that's the same thing that we do with our meditation. We stop and we notice. We have to be curious in order to meditate. You have to be curious about what's going on in, in your head or in your body. Otherwise, you don't notice these things. And then you have to be able to give them up. So I thought that the state of awe and mindfulness and meditation, in order to have a state of awe, you have to be mindful. You have to stop and pause and look. For instance, Moses would have never looked at the burning bush had he not stopped and, and paused and looked at it and was in a state of awe. Like, oh my God, this bush is not burning, even though it's burning, it's not burning up. So So I thought we would share some stuff about how we experience awe in everyday life. Tammy.
Reggie, this is lovely. I like the topic, and I just was, it immediately brought to mind Bobby.
Wait a minute, I have to.
It immediately.